In the songs this morning, a lot of them were talking about standing. It takes, when you stand for something, it's not easy to stand for something, especially if you're one of the few people standing and other people are opposed to what you stand for. To stand strong and to not waver in your convictions is not an easy task at times. In the process of going out to visit people in nursing homes, I ran across a guy. He's not a patient. He's somebody I just come to know, and he wanted to start sending me a little devotion every morning. This man lives in a nursing home in Oregon. He gets up every morning, and at 7 o'clock, 6:59, 7:01, I'm telling you, ding, every morning. Today, he says, run to him for safety. And he's got a verse on here, Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Every day I get something from him. His name is Jerry. But the other day, I knew what I was preaching on today, and he sent me this from Jeremiah 29:11-12a. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans for well-being, not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call to me and pray to me. Let's bow. Father, those words given to Jeremiah by God weren't just for Jeremiah, but Lord, for us to know that when we talk to you, you're there like a friend to listen. But you're also wanting us to listen too, Lord, and to know that you're there for us and that you've given us a task in life. Number one, to know you and adore you and stay close to you and trust you. And if we do those things, Lord, you will bless us. You will guide our ways. You will guide our steps. You'll help us to be the person that we need to be to honor you and your son Jesus who paid for our sin on a cross. Help us, Lord, to not take any of this for granted and to draw close to you every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not talking about Jeremiah today, but I like the verse and how it applies. And when we search out God and trust his plan, and we seek him every day, he makes that plan known to us. I want to talk to you today about a story out of the book of Daniel. We know the people in the story is Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Scripture tells us a lot about these people. But in the very beginning, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 6, it points something out to us. But I want to take a look at their names first. Hananiah, who was later given the name, Babylonian name Shadrach, name means Yahweh is gracious. Meshach, who is what God is? And Azariah, Yahweh has helped. Has anybody ever looked up their name? Like what your name means? I think Richard means powerful leader, but it probably has to do with King Richard, and I have no delusions about being a king or anything like that. Don't want to be a powerful ruler. But I think that's one of the meanings of my name. I've looked up Amy's name out of curiosity. I think it means love, something, joy. But I don't think I've ever looked up a name that where you look up the name is like loser. And if you looked up a name in a book, and who named their kid that? But these people's name had a meaning. And they were close friends with Daniel. We know from Daniel 1:6, it says, among these were Daniel, talking about all the people that went to captivity in from Israel to Babylon. And it says, among these, all these people, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar. Hananiah he called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. And Azariah he called Abednego. I don't even know if it was just this teacher, but I had a Sunday school teacher one time that her way of remembering those names, I don't even know why this is her, was shake a bed, make a bed, into bed we go. I don't know how, if that's just, did you learn that too? So I don't know, more than one Sunday school teacher then. These people were close to God. We read a little while later, two verses later, it says, it doesn't mention the other three's name, but it says this, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He wasn't going to take this food that, I don't know if there's something wrong with the food, if the kosher rules were in place yet, and if it was pork and they weren't supposed to eat two-hoofed animals. I don't know what was wrong with the food, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And we know that Daniel, that Azariah, Mishael, and Azariah felt the same way, because when the story starts, or they brought this food into them, they all said, no, we won't eat that. You know us, test us. Bring us this instead, and we'll eat that. And then after so many days, come in and check us against everybody else who's been eating the garbage you want them to eat. But we're not going to do it. Now, I think they must have been respectful in a way, because if they were just rude and obnoxious, the guy would have never listened to them. So he did what they said. He tested them. And sure enough, they were of better countenance, the Bible says. They trusted in God for whatever they were asking to eat. I'd like to know, because I'd like to go on that diet. The Bible isn't too specific about that, but we do know from the Bible there's a lot of things mentioned. We know that olives and olive oil are mentioned in the Bible. We know that lentils are mentioned in the Bible. There's a lot of things mentioned in the Bible, and I imagine if you were to eat a lot of those things, you'd probably be better off physically than Twinkies and Ho-Hos and donuts and everything else that we love. But Daniel and those three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, decided to go this route. They didn't decide that day. But what happened was later on. We're going to jump ahead. Later on, the king had made a decree that when the music sounded, everybody was supposed to stop what they're doing, kneel down and worship a golden idol that was set up. And Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they decided, I don't know who else decided, but there must have been other faithful Jewish people who had been taken captive that lived, were in the same boat. But the Bible's talking about these guys. When that music sounded, they decided, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, David wasn't part of that evidently, because he didn't end up in the fiery furnace. But the music sounded, everybody did what they were supposed to do, and of course they did not. And they were taken before the king. What's going on? And he was upset. And they told him, let's jump into that story. After he questioned why they would not bow down, he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, now I want you to catch these next words. We are not careful to answer in this matter. We're not going to pussyfoot around your toes, king. We're not going to be careful in what we say here. We're not bowing down to that thing. We're not worshiping it. We have a God we worship, and we worship Him only. So He says, if it be so, whatever you're going to do to us, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. So they already knew what the penalty was. And He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Now, we're going to jump ahead just a minute, or a little bit forward, but he says, He will deliver us out of thine hand. Now, I don't think they were showing a lot of doubt here, but they go on to say, but if not, now He's going to deliver us out of your hand one way or the other. But if for some reason He doesn't deliver us from this fiery furnace, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. This is one of the declarations of faith in all Scripture. Now I speak this message to I'm kind of thinking about the young people more than anybody. Because when I was a kid, we had community football games. We got together in our yard because we probably had the biggest yard in town. And we played a football game or a baseball game or Red Rover. And you're probably thinking, what the heck is Red Rover? And we'd have 20 kids in our yard, 10 over here and 10 over here. And you kind of mix them up a little bit so you have big kids and little kids mixed. And you held hands, arms. And you said, Red Rover. And they would always say, send Ricky right over. Because I was only about this tall when I was a freshman. And you have to break through those lines of those arms. And if you can break through, you get to take one of their people back to your side. But if you can't, you stay. Now, they're kind of in a catch-22 here because they don't really need me. If they're going to keep me, the little guy, you just put him on the end. Nobody's running. At least they're only going to run between Rick, try to run. If I got my arm held with Danny Todd, and they break through Danny Todd and I, okay, but they can't run on this side. I don't have anybody. So 50-50 chance they're going to aim for me and Danny because I'm the little guy. But we used to have these games. That's what we did. We did not sit in our room on our phones doing this all the time. Now, I'm not saying that's everybody here. But I think that back when I was a kid, you got outside a lot more. You did a lot of things outside a lot more. And I think the world has a lot of distractions for young people and adults alike. We can so easily be distracted from our faith and not put God first, or decide that we can put off doing this or put off doing that. I don't really need to help that person today. I want to do this instead. The day the fiery furnace came for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was not the day they decided to be strong for God. That wasn't the day. They decided long before then, when they decided, we will not defile ourselves with the portions of the king's food. They probably decided as they're being rounded up in Israel and brought to Babylon, man, this is not going to be like home, folks. These people don't have the God we have. These people don't have the hope we have. These people don't have whatever. You put it, fill in the blank. We're going to have to be strong. I bet you that was the conversation as they went to Babylon. And Daniel and Azariah and Mishael and Hananiah decided who they were going to serve. So they're thrown into the fiery furnace. Here they are. And all of a sudden it says in Daniel 3, 24 and 25, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He goes on to say, behold, I see four men unbound, unhurt. I don't know if scripture says that or just me remember in the song that was written, unhurt and walking down there. We threw three men in there, and now there's four, and they don't even have any ropes on. What is going on? Now, I forgot to mention, when they went to throw the three men into the fiery furnace, the furnace was heated seven times hotter than normal. I don't even know how that's possible. Fire is fire. A blue flame burns at a certain degree. So I don't know if that's 1,500 degrees or what. But how do you make blue flame seven times hotter? How do you make it 10,500 degrees? I don't know. If it was really seven times hotter, or they just threw in seven times more logs or whatever they were using for the fire source. It was hot. It was so hot that the men who threw them in died from it. The heat, have you ever opened a wood stove or anybody to throw some fire or wood on, more wood on the fire, or got too close to the fire out here? We have a campfire and the wind shifts direction and all of a sudden the heat comes towards you. Woo, that's hot. Well, these guys opened up the door to throw these guys into the fiery furnace, and hot enough that it killed them. I mentioned earlier that before this day came, Daniel and his friends had all decided that they were going to stick close to God. They weren't going to compromise their faith. I don't know if Isaiah had been written yet, or these guys knew Isaiah's writings, or had heard some of his writings. I did not look up the time frame of when Daniel was compared to Isaiah. Forgive me for that. But Isaiah 43:2 says, "When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." I think some people interpret that last part as being, they won't even smell the smoke on you. You ever been around somebody that's been by a campfire, and later on you're by them and you can smell the smoke? You can tell they've been by a campfire. You can smell it on your own clothes sometimes. I think that's the kind of protection God gives us, can give us. We just got to believe that He can. That He's so with us that any lingering effect of what could have hurt us isn't even there. There's not even the smell of smoke. We sing a lot of songs sometimes. We didn't sing them today, but we sing songs like, "Give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth." And I like a lot of the old hymns, but I also like a lot of the new contemporary songs. And probably they sang a bunch of them at Fuel this week. I love those songs. It's especially inspirational. I haven't been back to Fuel or camp in years, but I went back about 4 or 5 years ago to take kids to camp, and I love going. I more than anything, I like to sit back a little bit and watch them praise the Lord. But knowing full well in my mind how hard it is to leave a place like that where you're full of inspiration, develop close relationships, hopefully get some strength to take with you back to where you're from, because you're going to leave some of your friends and they're going back to Arizona. They're going back to South Carolina. They're going back to Louisiana. Today, kids have it so much easier in the sense that you can just get on your phone and, "Hey, Joe, how you doing?" And Joe's 500 miles away in Louisiana or in South Carolina and Arizona, and you're talking to them face to face just like they're right there. And you can still draw inspiration from those people if need be. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Finding those things in life that where you can get inspiration from each other, people that you met at camp, other Christian friends, Bible study. Start your own Bible study with some school friends. Do that. And when you need someone to talk to them, not the people who laugh at your group because they don't want nothing to do with the Bible. They don't want nothing to do with God. They don't believe in God. Be like Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. I got them out of order and confused myself. They stood when everybody else bowed. They did the unpopular thing. And God protected them because of the what came their way. We sing a song. There's a song. I date myself because some of you kids are going, we've never sung that song. We used to sing a song, He's Able, He's Able. I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. And you repeat that part. Then it goes on to say, He heals the brokenhearted and sets the captive free. He makes the lame to walk again and calls the blind to see. So when we sing songs like that, we have to believe that He's able. Why else would you not bow down if you don't think He's able? Why else would you go the unpopular road if you don't think He's able? I feel for all the inhabitants of the earth today because we have so many ways to distract us, so many ways to get us off the path. In 155 AD, 125 years after Jesus walked the earth, it says, Polycarp, there was John, and one of his, I'm trying to remember the names of the people, one of his disciples, I can't remember his name, Polycarp would have been the disciple of that disciple. When commanded to deny Christ or be burned alive, the elderly pastor said, 86 years have I served Him and He never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my King? And he was burned at the stake. God didn't put the fire out. It wasn't like the fiery furnace. But He gave him the ability to endure. And Polycarp will someday, we'll see him again. We'll be reunited with other brothers and sisters in the faith. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I know that Brian Freilich has actually preached about this guy one time. Dietrich Bonhoeffer resisted Nazi ideology, refusing to bow to evil. He said, silence in the face of evil is in itself evil. When we live in a world where evil things happen and we choose not to stand up and discount those situations, we are kind of taking part in the evil. We need to call out evil when we see evil. Not bow to the political pressure. So a few things I want to look at. They chose God before the crisis. Don't wait till a crisis in your life to choose God. Choose God before the crisis. And when the crisis comes, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're never going to have a crisis in your life. Doesn't mean you're going to have not have a job loss. Doesn't mean you're not going to have trials and temptations. But you need to choose God before the trials come. What are those things that bind us? What are those things that bind us? When they were thrown into the fiery furnace, they were bound, it says. The ropes burn off. The king said, didn't we throw three men in there? Now there's four and they don't have any ropes on anymore. What are the things that bind us that we need to trust God to help us to be unbound by? I'd like to picture that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were down in the fiery furnace singing, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And soon all those around can warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Could you imagine being the king seeing that? Wow. It only takes a spark. He probably humming that song the rest of the days. So we need to be like them. Stand when others bow. Speak when others are silent. Trust when others fear. Worship when others compromise, and walk with God when life gets hot. But we have to decide today. Not when the time temptations come, not when the trials come. Daniel 1:8, all four of them purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves. The Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart, but they were good friends. They all purposed in their hearts together. The Bible, it's the book of Daniel, and it talks about Daniel. But we know when the time came that they had the same attitude as Daniel. Nope, we're not eating that food. We're going to do this. And there's a couple of closing scriptures to leave you with. Psalm 18:30 says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust Him. In Psalm 34:19, David writes, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He may not always deliver you out of the way you think He should. But when you finally look back and go, oh, that didn't work out the way I thought it would, but boy, it actually worked out better. Yeah, I lost my job, but I got a better one, and I make more money than I used to. Isn't that a good thing? If that be the temptation we're talking about? Or the trial? So learn and start believing and trusting in God today. We're going to close with the song, I Love to Tell the Story, 344. Because